Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you now, Lord, and we just thank you. We thank you for this moment in time, Lord, and right now we thank you for your word. And we ask that your word go across this pulpit to your people, Father, and let it, Lord, enlighten them. Lord, let it encourage them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Amen. Going to come from Ephesians, the third chapter of Ephesians. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask that you turn there, your tablets or phones. I'm going to ask that you turn to Ephesians, the third chapter, and I want to read verses 14 through 20. I've come and used this scripture before, preached this message before, but I think it's timely. Each time that I read this scripture, it really touches me. So I want to read this for you all and just say a few things about this on today. Starting with the 14th verse, and I'll read down to the 20. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. 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 Church, if there was ever a prayer that you should memorize, it's this one. This is Paul's second prayer in this book of Ephesians. And he is praying for not only the Ephesians, but he also reached out into the future and he prayed for us. And he prayed for us. Just a bit of a background. This book of Ephesians, back in AD 50, Priscilla and Aquila arrived in Ephesus, and they started the first church. Paul arrived there in AD 52, and he ministered there for about 3 years. Now, Ephesus was a population of about 300,000 people. The city was made up of various race backgrounds and cultures, and it was a time of tension, very much a time of tension. So here's Brother Paul. He's imprisoned and yet thinking about the church. He's in prison, but yet he's thinking about the church. He had time to reflect. Reflect, for example, on his ministry in Ephesus and the challenges and also the successes he had. And at this point, Paul gathers up a feather or whatever he wrote with at that time and some skin of lamb or whatever he wrote on at that time, and he decided to get to writing. And he wrote this letter to the Ephesians. And Eventually, this letter not only was for the Ephesians, but it was also for the church at large. And history even tells us that Tychicus traveled to various churches reading this letter. Through this letter, Paul shows us how Christ unites. He unites and brings man to God. Then he also brings men to men. But more importantly, he brings justice and love together. Justice and love. God's justice and love. And this is the mystery that Paul wrote about throughout this book. The mystery which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the spirits. And that's Ephesians 3rd chapter, verses 4 and 5. And then specifically he says in verse 6 of that same chapter, to be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body, fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Gentiles are now fellow heirs. He's bringing Gentiles and Jews together. He's bringing men and men together. He's also bringing God to men. Amen. But he's bringing God's justice and love at the same table to meet and to reason. So in chapters 1 through 3, Paul shows you all the doctrine, shows you how this was done. And then in chapters 4 through 6, he shows you how we should live it out, how we should practice it, how we should not only allow these words on paper to just remain words on paper, but it should be words that dictate our life. Amen. So our text is from that doctrinal portion of Paul in Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, verses 14 through 12. But before you get to his prayer, you have to also understand what he was talking about in verses 1 through 14. Because he says, for this reason. But for what reason? For what reason? Well, that reason is actually found in chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. And the pivotal verse there is verse 4. And he says, because of the great love with which he loved us. Because of the great love with which he loved us. I think that bears to read again. Because of the great love with which he loved us. John Murray said this, love is not something that is added to God. It is not something that God may choose to be or not to be. He is love, and that necessarily, inherently, and eternally. And God, as God is spirit, as he is light, he is also love. God is love. Love is the pivotal point, pivotal word throughout this passage. It's love. And Paul wants you to understand that God loves you. I hope you understand that God loves you. I need you to understand that God loves you. You may think you understand that God loves you, but I need to let you know today that God loves you. Yeah, you might think you know a little bit about love, but I need for you to understand today that God loves you. He loves you. And Paul here today says, I want to make sure that they understand this one thing, that God loves them. See, folks think they have reached the zenith and they've come to the point of understanding where they don't need to understand anymore. They have arrived and they've gotten there. And they've been in this walk for some time, so they understand that God loves them. No. Paul says no. Paul says no. Paul says no. You need to understand that God loves you. He loves you. And he loves you to such a point where Paul said, I need to get this in a book. And I need to write it down. And I need to make sure that this thing can be read over and over and over again so they can understand that God loves them. See, justice was demanding a price. Justice said, all have fallen short. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sins shall die. But guess what? God loved you. God loved you. And he loves you. And you need to understand that Paul did not bend his knees and set his heart towards God. And he set his heart towards God's throne and just said, Lord, give them all a Cadillac. He did not do that. Lord, give them all big houses. Lord, give them all money. All the things that you see on television. Paul didn't take time just to pray for that. Paul said, I want to pray for one thing. I want to pray that they understand that God loves them. That God loves them. And church, I sit back in this position as pastor, and I see so many events that are going on in your lives. I see that loved ones are being lost. I see that there are medical crises that are going on. I see that some are facing financial crises. I see that some are facing relationship crises. I see that some have just been in accidents. But here's the thing. God loves you. When I'm on my knees, I want to focus like Paul. I don't want to pray that, okay, now that you have gotten in an accident, pray that this brother get a Cadillac. No, no, no. I want him to understand that God loves him because through that accident, God was guiding those cars somehow to where he and his mother came out of that situation. That shows that God loves him. And I think about times in which you're at the hospital, and some of you are at the hospital, and you don't know what's going on. And the doctors sometimes, they act like they don't know what's going on. But you know what? God brings you out of those situations, and he shows you that he loves you. God loves you. God loves you. And he loves you so much. He loves you so much that Paul here says, you need to understand just how much you are loved. Look at how much you are loved. Look at what he says in verse 18. He says, maybe able to comprehend, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints. See that? You see that? All the saints? That means that this love thing is not just by yourself. It's not a solo thing. It's not a solo thing. This love thing comes with the fact that we are in this thing together. And what happens is you get to see just how much God loves you and loves others simply by the events that are going on in their lives. Sometimes you go and you look back and you see how God has just answered prayer for someone else, and you say, wow, God really loves them. You know what? And he loves me just like that. He loves me just like that. There was an old saying from an old theologian. He said that God loves you so much, he loves you like you're the only one. He loves you like you're the only one. That's how much he loves you. That's how much he loves you. So maybe, able to comprehend in that 18th verse, comprehend with all the saints, what is the breadth and length and height and depth of this love. See, that's the thing. See, you don't get there. And to be honest, you won't get there. You won't be able to tap out that love that God has for you. It's something that's mind-boggling. It's something that is mind-blowing. And it's something that when you try to comprehend it, the more you peel it back, it's like an onion. The more you peel it back, the more layers there are. And he just keeps on growing and growing and growing. And you know what? The more you get to know him, the more you love him, and the more you see how you are loved. This thing is on, and it goes on, and it goes on, and it goes on. God loves you. And he wanted you to rejoice about just that. And see, he wanted you to understand that this thing takes strength. Believe it or not, it takes strength to understand how much God loves you. This is not a thing of weakness. This takes that effort because, see, love is experiential. In order to really understand what love is, you got to experience it. You have to experience it. It's just not like you just sit there and just let time pass. No. See, as you walk this life and as you exert that energy to be that Christian, to be like Christ, what happens is that you expand that interest or expend that energy. And as you expend that energy, the more you expend it, the more you get to see just how God loves you. Those who think they love God and they're just sitting on the seat of their pants and letting time roll by, they don't understand just how much God loves them. No, because the more you work in that vineyard, that's when you get to see the beauty and the love of God for you. He wants you to comprehend it. And he wants you to understand that, see, Christ dwells in you. And that word dwell means he's at home. He's at home in you. And you know, when somebody sits up, you know, and sets up home in you, that's not just a visitor. That's his home. And remember when I told you all about that company clean? It's got to be company clean inside of you. See, you can't have a closet that's a junk closet. He's setting up home residency in you, and he should be able to move all around freely. He should be able to go in that inner man and go wherever he wants. You just can't say, "Christ, don't open that door." No, that's a closet. You don't need to open that. You only just come. No, stay over here. Stay over here. Just stay over here. No, that's not the type of life, because see that closet of secret stuff. See, Christ ain't at home. If he's restricted to certain areas, he's not at home. He wants to dwell all within you. He wants to dwell all within you. Freedom. See, he can't call it home if he's just, he can't roam. He's got to be able to roam if you're at home. Amen? People come over, people could tell when you come over their houses, if they don't want you there. You could tell. You could tell if you came by at the wrong time. You could tell. You could even sense that, oh boy, I better not turn down that hall. I better not open that door. I better get this bathroom. Where's the bathroom at? I better get this bathroom door right. Right? You can't have those secret rooms. You can't have junk drawers. You know, go get a fork. You can't have, you can't do that. You got to be able to let him be at home. He's got to have freedom. Amen. And this is the love that you will experience when Christ is free to be at home in you. In you. Amen? To be free in you. And justice. Justice. See, when justice was up there demanding a price, all of a sudden love said, okay. All right. And he says, what's the width? What's the width, right? What's the width? What are you talking about in terms of the width and the length and the height and the depth? Why did Paul mention those things? Why did he mention those things? Well, breadth has to do with how wide. How wide. He's talking about how wide this love is. How wide it is. If you look at Ephesians, the second chapter, verses 12 through 13, he says this, remember that you were at that time separated. How wide. You were separated from Christ. Excluded. How wide. Excluded from the commonwealth of Israel. And strangers. How wide. You were strangers to the covenants of promise. Having no hope and without God in the world. How wide was that distance? Check this out. But in 13, but now, in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. By the blood of Christ. See the width of this thing, the breadth of this thing, God eliminated it with his love. And then he says the length. Well, what time? That talks about a time frame here. How long? Well, he says this also in Ephesians, the first chapter. Ephesians, the first chapter, verses 3 through 6. He says this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. How much time? Before the foundation of the world. That we would be holy and blameless before him in love. There go love again. He predestined. How much time? He predestined us to what? Adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. How long? From eternity past till eternity future. That's how long. That's how long this love is. And you telling me you can comprehend that? You weren't there back then. And you're not there yet. You are living in the love that you have right now. And you are trying to comprehend the fact that he, before you were born, he called you. Before you were born, he called you. And then in eternity past, you will... In eternity, in the future, you will still be there. Still be there with him. And then the depth of this thing. Well, guess what? The depth of it says, you talking about how low can you go? Oh, you were low. You were low. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within. Right? Sinking to rise no more, but the Master. That's love. And Psalms 103, very popular scripture. 103 verses 1 through 4 says this. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. And here it goes, who redeems your life from the pit. You were in the pit. You were in the pit. You couldn't go any lower. You were on your way to hell. You were on your way to hell. So what? To the depths of what? To the depths of what? To the depths of hell, his love reached down and rescued you. And rescued you. Tell me, how can you comprehend that? How can you comprehend that? Because when you were his enemy, yet Christ loved you and he died for you. You're telling me that you can comprehend such a love? This love is mind-blowing. And Paul says, I need to not pray for Cadillacs and money and everything. I need to let them understand and get them to know the fact that God loves them. God loves you. God loves you. How high? How high? Man, please. It's high. It's high. It's all the way up there. All the way to heaven. Amen? All the way to heaven. In Ephesians again, the second chapter, verses 4 through 7, it says this, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love, there go that love again, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him. You hear that? How high? Raised us up and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. How high? All the way to heaven. You're telling me that you can comprehend this love? You're telling me that you can fix your mouth to say thank you, and you know just what it took? No. Each day you're climbing higher and higher, and you're getting to know more and more about this love that God loves you with. And you're seeing that you are loved. See, when you're in action and when you're loving him, he shows you just how much he loves you. He shows you just how much he loves you. And it just keeps going on and on and on. There's no limit to this. There's no limit to this. It's just mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing. And he goes on to say this. He says this in his doxology. And his doxology is how he ends it, right? How he ends everything. He says this. He says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. That power that works within us is that love. It's that love, because he wanted us to understand within our inner man. See, this thing is about an inner thing. It's about that dwelling. Christ wants to dwell. He wants to be at home. And it's that inner thing that he's talking about. And he's saying, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within him. That's enough to shout about, church. Because when you break it down, just like William did, Dr. Williams broke it down, and he said, no, you got to take this thing line by line. He says, you won't understand it unless you take it line by line. He says, first you got to say, now unto him who is able. We serve an able God. You can stop right there. And you understand that we serve an able God. But you know what? There's more. There's more, because he's now unto him who is able to do. He's able to do. He has the power to do it. He has the power to do it. Not only is he able, but he's able to do. What is he able to do? He is able to do what we ask. Can you imagine that? He's able to do what you ask. Whatever you fix your mouth to ask him, and it's his will, it can be done. He's able to do what we ask. He's able to not only do what we ask, but he's able to do what we think. Imagine that. You don't even have to move your lips, and you can think it. Amen. He's able to do what we ask or think. Able to do what we ask or think. And then guess what he puts in front of it next? Able to do all that we ask or think. And then he says, no, you know what? I want to put something else before the all. Able to do above all that we ask or think. Now I want to put something else in front of that. Able to do abundantly above all that we ask or think. Oh man, this is just something. When you get to see how much you're loved, it just gets you giddy. I tell you, because God loves you so much. So much. Now unto him who is able to do. Let me go one more further up on you. Exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think. What a mighty God, and what a mighty love that he loves us with. It takes a lifetime to understand this. And then even in eternity, when we are perfected, guess what we'll still be working on? Understanding how much he loves us. Even in eternity, we will still be trying to comprehend how much he loved us. We're going to sit there in heaven and we're going to say, "Ooh, I know I'm loved, but I still don't understand to what extent he loves me. Let me still bask in the glory of God for eternity so I can understand what type of love it took to get me here. To get me here." Saints, I pray that you will memorize this prayer and have this in your arsenal as you go on. And understand this one thing. When you pray for me, pray this for me. I don't want you to pray for a car for me. I don't want you to pray for a house for me. You could pray in addition to that. But what I want most, I want you to pray this more than anything. And that other stuff can be extra. But when it boils down to it, I want you to pray this for me. Amen? And I will pray this for you, that you understand this love that God loves you with. Man, what a love. What a wondrous love. What a wondrous love, church. What a wondrous love. And I tell you, if you have walked with him, I don't care how long you walk with him, you still haven't peeled all the layers to this love. And if you haven't begun to walk with him, boy, are you missing out. What a wonderful opportunity now to come and begin this walk of love with Christ. Choose ye this day to serve him, to come to him. Don't let this moment pass you by. I pray that you come today, that you come today, and you understand and begin to experience this love that God has for you. He sums it up When somebody asked me this week, I think one of my daughters asked me this week, that what's the definition of love? And I said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You got to experience that to understand what love is. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And he gave him for you, and he gave him for me. I pray that you will accept Christ today. Don't delay. After dismissal, if you need prayer or counseling, we will be here to do just that, to pray and counsel you. Amen. Amen. Amen.